the hell?
I'm sorry.
No, but it's a joke, really.
Yo, speak about my mom again? No, that's unacceptable.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Hello and welcome to This Cannot Be Serious, a dive into the weird and wonderful world of tennis. We've finished the first week of Wimbledon, Joe.
What a week it was as well.
Yeah, amazing week. Obviously, incredible amount of tennis going on, some real upsets. Great to get out on the grass.
Yeah, absolutely. We both had the pleasure of attending a couple times, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, it feels so nice to be back on grass.
Yeah, doesn't it? I think first things first, I think it's a good idea to go over our big predictions from round one to reflect on last week, where we posted a couple of potential banana skins. Yep. I went for Struffy to beat Medvedev in the first round, which I thought was a good bet. I thought Medvedev maybe coming onto the grass wouldn't look that great. He lost in four. Not too bad, but I think you can probably bask in the glory now, Joe. Tiafoe to beat Tsitsipas is one you called.
I did call it, and it was straight sets in the end, wasn't it?
Straight sets, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt grass is obviously not Tsitsipas's best surface. There'd be some letdown after the French Open final. He hadn't played a match since then, I don't think. I just think, yeah, he was primed to go out early, unfortunately. But as part of that prediction, I think you owe on this podcast a big public apology to one Francis Tiafoe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay. I mean, he got absolutely slapped in the face by Karen Khachanov. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, he got through a couple of rounds. I think he played Vasek Pospisil in the second round and came through that. He's a bit flaky. I think he came out and said he was only a big game player, which is worrying considering the level he normally plays at. That's not something you can rely on. But I do apologise. A great result for Tiafoe to beat Tsitsipas, even if he was looking a bit tired. Tsitsipas looked emotionally drained.
For sure. Who else were big casualties early?
Well, I probably say, just to finish on that, I'd say that's pretty much, you called the big upset on the men's side, I reckon. Because looking through the rankings on the ATP, most of them are still in.
Yeah.
So you did incredibly well there. It was mainly on the women's side, there were quite a few casualties. Serena went out in pretty horrendous circumstances, really looked like she slipped on the grass and injured herself. Didn't look like that bad an injury.
No, from what I've read and what from what her coach said, your favourite coach, Patrick Mouratoglou, she came into the tournament with an injury of some kind and then severely aggravated it on that slip. So it wasn't so much as the slip caused an injury, it was she had some, I think, maybe a hamstring issue or something, and that just... yeah, finished her off, really.
Yeah. Quick question on those strappings on your leg. What do they actually do?
Great question. I've always thought that those are more mental than anything else.
You don't really see it in any other sport except tennis.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand, because it won't... If you've got, like... Is it for your hamstrings?
I mean, I've seen the leg ones. I've seen some people put them on, like, shoulders as well in tennis.
Yeah.
It literally just looks like a piece of tape.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it would do that much. It's also the same with, you know, the tape you get, like the black tape on people's knees?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what that does. That feels like it's a market that's been ripe for marketers to take advantage of.
I think it must just be more mental than actually doing any good.
Yeah. But I think, you know, Serena, I do feel really sorry for her.
Yeah.
I would say she makes it quite dramatic. Did you see her go out?
I did see her. I was actually there that day.
Okay.
But because it was already quite late, I didn't stick around for the Serena match.
Oh, okay. But, I don't want to be cruel to Serena, because clearly she's trying to beat the Margaret Court record and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when bad things happen to her, you know about it.
She's not
subtle about it on court. Is she kind of like she collapsed in a ball and started screaming, as far as I could make out.
She did.
I thought it was quite a lot.
I see where you're coming from. I did also feel really bad for her.
Of course.
I think the reaction was more of, this might be it at Wimbledon, rather than, you know, the injury is so painful, I can't even stand up sort of thing. I think it was just like a, is it really going to end like this kind of reaction? Yeah. And I hope it doesn't. But yeah.
Look, I don't want to be seen as a Serena basher. That's not what I'm here to do.
No, this podcast is purely about Djokovic bashing.
That's true. Yeah, we can't have too many people to go after. No. What I would say is there've been so many slips this year. way more than in previous years. Even watching the Federer match yesterday, which I think we'll come on to.
Yep.
Very rare I've seen him hit the floor.
He's hit the floor multiple times in every one of his matches this year. And yeah, like you said, I think I've seen him slip on grass once before.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something going on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not quite sure what reason they've given. If they're saying it's because they haven't played on it in a couple of years, we're not quite sure what reason that would be for making the grass more slippery.
No, I tell you what, I was there last night as well, and as I was leaving the grounds very late, I was just walking around some of the outside courts, and they were absolutely drenching them. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like,
it had been raining yesterday as well.
Yeah. But like, just on every outdoor court, there was just a humongously powerful sprinkler, just like honestly drenching the entire thing.
Hmm.
And I'm sure, like, I'm not a groundskeeper, you know, I don't know what you need to do to keep this kind of grass in playing condition, but that was kind of jarring.
That is quite strange, considering loads of people have been slipping on it. As you say, I think we've got to take it as read that the groundskeepers at Wimbledon know how to look after a grass court.
Yes.
I think if we can't have faith in that, the foundations of the world are not safe. But you've had a busy week, Joe. Do you want to talk about Federer and all your experiences of this week, the matches he's had?
Yeah. So obviously it started with that really tough first rounder against Adrian Mannarino, trying to pronounce his name correctly there. He was, I would say, in severe danger of losing that match. He admittedly himself said he was lucky afterwards. Mannarino was victim, unfortunately, of a slip, and he could barely move afterwards. Like, it was hard to watch. And full credit to him, he slipped after going down a break in the fourth, with a couple games left in the fourth, and he finished out that set with providing, you know, almost zero resistance, and then gave it one point in the fifth and just realized it was pointless.
Mm.
So felt really bad for him, because he played an absolutely phenomenal match against Federer. Federer was very up and down. He'd find spells of good tennis, but there were spells of just shanks all over the place.
Did you think he was going out at any point?
Yes.
Really?
I did. I think at the start of that, I mean, he was 2-1 down. I think at the start of that fourth set, I was like, I just got a real bad feeling about this.
Hmm.
But he did pick up his game, and a fifth set would have been interesting. I still think Federer would have found a way. But yeah, very tough opening match. And then round two, he played a very tight first set against Gasquet and then demolished him. It was really like vintage Federer. It was almost like Gasquet was exactly the type of person Federer needed to face to get his confidence back. But
My friend sent me I think it was the video of the Gasquet backhand down the line.
Oh,
that was ridiculous.
Yeah, Gasquet was he was not playing badly at all. Gasquet was playing a really, really good match, and he still lost in straight sets.
Yeah,
that backhand of Richard Gasquet is beautiful. Yeah,
it is. It is lovely when it gets going. It's he's up there with the Wawrinkas, the Federers, as a lovely. Actually, I probably also say Shapovalov as well. Come those lovely one handed backhands. He planted himself, didn't he? And he was just ready for it, and he was so well balanced and just hit through it. Was it an overhead from Federer?
It was an overhead, yeah.
That was ridiculous.
The crowd gave that a standing ovation.
Oh, you have to, yeah.
Yeah, because it was phenomenal. And then most recently, Britain's Cam Norrie, who's had a fantastic year. I think he's got the third most wins on tour this year out of any male player.
Right.
Made a, forget which, grass court final, but recently made a grass court final.
Yeah, Queens.
Was it Queens?
Yeah.
And yeah, again, Federer was just that little bit better. The crowd kind of, after Norrie went two sets down, I think most of the crowd were like, okay, we want to see a bit more tennis here. So started to get behind Cam a little bit more. And to his credit, he did force a fourth set. I thought Norrie played pretty well throughout, but yeah, Federer was just able to find that extra gear in most of the important moments. But he's played so much better than I ever imagined he would. And I'm absolutely thrilled he's through to the second week.
Yeah, absolutely. I did think I thought the Norrie match would be very tricky, much trickier than it appeared to be. He looked in control for quite a lot of it. I think what's promising is he looks like he's getting better, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I think he looks like he's gaining in confidence. I think he needs to get through that first match. When Federer's nervous, the shanks do come out.
Yeah.
And I think getting through that match, however he got through it, and having a very, as you say, I think that match against Gasquet kind of built his confidence. But he's looking good, and he's got Lorenzo Sonego, is it, in the next round?
Yes, he does. I saw an interesting stat earlier today. Federer has more grass court titles than Sonego has ever played grass court matches.
Wow.
Which is mental. But Sonego did win I think his only title has been a grass court title in, I believe it was Antalya, which I believe is Turkey.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with that.
The geography is really, it's off the charts on this show.
That's what the listeners come to this show for.
Absolutely.
So can't let them down. Yeah. So will be an interesting matchup on centre tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're going as well, though.
Yeah, as a nut job that I am, I've made an early decision this tournament to just try and see every Federer match.
You got to, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what predictions for, do you think he'll make it through?
I do think he'll beat Sonego. And then from that point on, I think things might get a little dicey, but at this point it's just, you know, like, take what you can get. He's clearly enjoying himself again. He's happy to be there. He's happy with his performance. Yeah. Just keep the good vibes rolling and let's see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a particularly good week as well. Well, interesting week, I think, for Andy Murray. Came through a first couple of rounds, played Nicolas Basilashvili from Georgia in the first round, played some, I mean, that was a bizarre match, was five love up, three breaks in the third set, ended up losing seven games in a row to lose that set, the third set, 7-5.
We were texting throughout that. I've never seen anything like that happen, I don't think.
No, it was quite extraordinary, wasn't it? He, as soon as he lost that first game on his serve, he started to tighten up a bit.
Yeah.
And it did. I'm amazed that tennis players can close out games when they're tight, because you could just see he was just going back into himself. It was amazing that he came out afterwards and just kind of, after the break, and I think they put the roof on, didn't they? He came back out and performed incredibly well. And then said after, it was quite funny, his post-match press conference where he was talking about how he'd composed himself and how he was never going to give up, and everybody had been talking about his retirement, and then said, you know, I managed to beat like 28 in the world pretty easily. I can still kind of do this, which I thought was quite a funny comment. But he played some amazing, like properly back to Murray best.
There was some vintage stuff in that match, which
was really, really encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to talk about the Shapovalov match?
Yeah. He played Oscar Otter in the second round.
Oh, I completely forgot about that one.
Yeah. Beat him in five. Actually, we talked about Oscar Otter because he took out Prajnesh Gunaswaran in one of the challenger. We were like, who's this Oscar Otter guy? A few weeks later. I think it might have been like Haller or so I can't remember, but he took out. So that was quite funny. But Murray managed to come through that in five. And then I watched the Shapovalov match on Friday on Henman Hill. And it was really sad, actually. I thought it was going to be a great atmosphere. Everybody was kind of gearing up for it. They were stopping people going onto the hill because they thought it was going to be so many people on that Friday evening.
Yeah.
And it just kind of never really got going. I think in all three sets, he was behind maybe a couple of breaks pretty much. He always felt like he was behind in the set. Tried to rally in the first, didn't quite work out. And I think he just, by all accounts, from hearing from him afterwards, just didn't really have the energy, I think.
Yeah.
And hadn't had the match practice, just didn't feel like he had anything left. And there was kind of a resignation, I think, from Murray that this was kind of the end of the road, which was really sad. And then there were comments afterwards about him saying whether or not he needs to reassess if he's going to carry on, if he's put all this work in, is it, and he can't even compete with somebody like Shapovalov, who played okay. I mean, I'm quite surprised that there was so much praise for Shapovalov. I thought he played a pretty average match.
I thought
he looked very nervous at the beginning because I think it was, I don't know if it was his first match on center. It was definitely one of his first matches. And I thought he was there if Murray had been solid. But it just wasn't too many unforced errors, didn't serve well enough. And yeah, I think it will be interesting to see what comes next.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't, and I'm sure he won't, but make any rash of a decision based on that, because had he played Shapovalov in round one when he's fresh, I think that's a hell of a match and Murray has a really good chance of beating him.
Yeah, I mean, flipping that on his head, I think if Basilashvili had played him in the third round, I think he would have beaten Murray quite comfortably.
Yes, agree.
I think anybody would have done in that match.
So then we're just talking about a fitness thing, right? Because he doesn't seem to be in pain.
Well, I think they're still managing this groin injury.
Groin injury, right.
Yeah, so I think it's just he can't have enough time on the court. But I mean, it's sad. It's sad. But I think he, hopefully he'll come back. I think it's very hard after somebody's just lost a match like that to kind of reflect on what you're going to do. I'd expect him to come out and play again. I think he'll play Wimbledon again. I think it probably looked pretty promising. He'll probably play the US Open and do okay. And the more he plays, the better he'll get.
He seems really fired up to play the Olympics, so he's definitely playing that.
Yeah. How did he get a spot for that?
I think, I don't know what the qualification rules are, but it sounds like you get selected by the British captain is like Leon Smith for the Davis Cup team, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So I think he basically just chose the people that were going. So
that feels a bit weird, doesn't it? It does feel like it should be done on rankings.
It does, but there was a bit of why isn't Cam Norrie going? That Cam Norrie didn't want to go, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's not like Andy Murray has taken, you know, you could say maybe he's taken the place of Jay Clark.
Which I'm deeply upset about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm here to talk about.
But, I mean, would you rather have Jay Clark or Andy Murray trying to win an Olympic gold medal?
I don't know. I'd like to give the youngsters a chance. Murray's already won two.
That's true. It's close.
It's Leon Smith, as it happened. He always goes on about, you know, he was the one who was driving Murray to kind of, you know, matches in Scotland when they were younger for like British event. I was like, how old is Leon Smith? Because Leon Smith does not look old. I was like, they look like they're kind of the same age. I mean, Leon Smith is 45. I think he looks fantastic for 45.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
But I was, anyway, slight side point. But
that's all right. On a different side point, I question, I'm sure they do a lot of good for British tennis and they know their stuff and they're really helpful. I'm a bit tired of hearing the names like Leon Smith and what's the one on the women's side called?
Oh, Anki Athervon.
Yeah, I just think, like, how responsible are you for, I don't know, Dan Evans, like, having a really good year and getting into the world, you know, the top 25 in the world or wherever he is now? You know, for how much I hear their names, I'm not sure it's warranted, is what I'm saying.
Well, in terms of their actual involvement in the,
yeah,
you might be right. I mean, Leon Smith's absolutely everywhere.
Yes, he is.
He just goes and watches all the British players and just stands up every now and again, claps the head in his hands whenever somebody like Carl Edmund decides they're going to play. Actually, I saw Carl Edmund outside the grounds, which was exciting.
Oh, did you really? Literally outside the grounds?
Yeah, outside Wimbledon. Yeah, he's just kind of strolling around, imposing figure.
Yeah, didn't fancy a selfie?
No, I don't. No, we took a photo. He looked at us strangely, but I didn't feel in these COVID times it was a great idea to go up to him like that.
He was probably stunned. He was recognised, to be honest.
Yeah, he's been out for a long time. I hope he comes back.
Yeah,
just the match yesterday with Emma Raducanu was amazing. On court number one, she took out Castilla from Romania in straight sets. She's 18 years old. I'm sure you've seen, you know, anybody who follows tennis has seen what she's done. But yeah, she looked, it was amazing seeing her reaction afterwards. She looked like she couldn't quite believe that she was there. So kind of amazing when you see somebody like that, really wide-eyed, just kind of like taking it all in. Because she's never played in front of a crowd like that, no. But also looking like she absolutely loved it.
Nice to see.
Yeah, on today at Wimbledon, of course they got Boris Becker out to talk about what it's like to be a young champion, and he was wheeling out all his favorite tips for the youngsters, no fear, etc., etc.
God, I can't. My least favorite commentary duo this year is definitely Boris Becker and Andrew Castle.
Yeah, that's a dangerous combination. That's a really dangerous combination.
I can't stand. My low light for listening to them was, I believe they were commentating on must have been a Zverev match, because they were talking about, no, it wasn't Zverev. It was the Murray Bacilic Philly match.
Yeah.
And they were talking about his domestic violence issues, and Andrew Castle just has that monotoned way of saying everything. He was basically talking about this ongoing court case back in Georgia, like Bachelor really just competed in a tournament, and he was talking about the results of that, and yeah, you know, he's got that going on, and firstly, I'm not really sure you should be talking about this.
No.
And secondly, he was saying it in completely the wrong tone, as is always the case for him.
The worst I had this week was again with Andrew Castle. This could turn into Andrew Castle bashing session, but he was like, Murray, it was the worst, most cringe commentary I ever get. It was like Murray was, I think it was the Bacilic Philly. He's like, Murray was running around and retrieving, was like, Murray is running around so much, he's going to melt that metal hip of his.
I heard that.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
You just know it's written down on a notepad.
Oh, yeah, just so cringe. You're like, oh, my God, somebody put him down.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. But how are your trips? How did you find Wimbledon this year, Joe? Did you enjoy it?
I mean, yeah, I've enjoyed all the trips. I would say it's noticeable that there's 50% less people walking around the grounds.
Mm.
It feels like you've got a lot more space to move about than past years. For all the bad press that Wimbledon had with the ticket sales process, I actually think the process of getting in with proving that you've taken a negative test or you've been double vaccinated and stuff has run very smoothly.
Yeah, it was really, apparently there were problems on the first day, but aside from that, I haven't heard too many issues, but it was really well organized, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they've done exceptionally well, given the restrictions. So
yeah,
hats off to them. And it's been a really fun tournament. I mean, yesterday, I hope no one from Wimbledon is listening to this, but I managed to sneak onto court one after the Federer match on center and caught the last four sets of Cilic Medvedev.
Oh, wow.
Which was really good. Cilic was playing like he's going to easily win the whole thing in the second set.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the level from Marin Cilic. It was US Open champion Marin Cilic.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. And then all of a sudden he started not playing as good and Medvedev won the third. And I said to my friend who I was with, Medvedev in five. Mm. Because you just know when Cilic is going to start choking, and he instantly started probably the worst three-set choke job I've ever seen someone do.
That's a shame.
I felt really bad for him, to be fair, because he was destroying Medvedev.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, he can. He can just hit you off the court, can't he?
Cilic. Absolutely. But there's just been so many matches like that, which has just been fun to watch. A couple of days ago, I spent a good couple hours watching your old friend Jeremy Chardy.
Oh, yeah.
Versus Ilya Ivashka.
I don't think I've ever seen Ilya Ivashka. Was it good?
It was a really good match.
Yeah.
And Ivashka is still in the tournament. He's pretty handy on grass. Just there's been so many little gems that you can just watch this year, I think.
It's been a good week. I think having a year off as well has made you more hungry to see the grass court, hasn't it, as well?
For sure. What are some of your highlights?
Can I just go back? How did you get onto it? How easy was it to get onto number one court?
So it's been okay this week because there's been, again, some bad press about, well, center court and court one don't look like they're 50% capacity. It looks pretty packed. So what they've done is they've not put anyone in like the top, I don't know, 15, 20 rows. So on the cameras, it looks like it's a full court.
Yeah, but a bit above.
Yeah. So actually, you just kind of go in with a crowd and you just sit up in a row that like not many people are sitting in. And you just know that most of those people have snuck on as well.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. I wish we'd given that a go. I was kind of, it probably would have worked.
It would only work this year, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just very fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had a really good day. We went on Friday, great weather. Went on court two, which I don't know if you've ever been on.
I've not had the pleasure, no.
It was actually really good. I think with Wimbledon, with centre court, I think sometimes you can get fairly mixed tickets. But we tried kind of two or three areas within court two, and they were all kind of really good views and stuff. So I really enjoyed it. I had a really good day. We were fortunate. Saw who did we see? Pliskova. We saw Sabalenka, who played very well, who was surprisingly grunting in like the warm-up.
Oh wow.
Yeah, quite like I'm sending a signal to this young Colombian girl that I'm here to mean business. I've never seen that before. It was completely bizarre.
No, that's pretty serious stuff.
And then I saw Batista Agu play Dominic Kopfer of Federer Roland Garros fame.
Yep.
And then, which was very good. Batista Agu played very well. And then we were fortunate the plus one match that we got for finishing early was Kyrgios and Venus Williams playing doubles. Which was very entertaining. Kind of, Kyrgios was absolutely desperate to win that match. He was kind of showing off to Williams quite a lot.
Yeah.
He was on set of shouting, like, come on, V, like that kind of thing, which was quite good. Had a massive argument with the umpire. Yeah, it was all the great Kyrgios moments, and then slapped a couple of forehands at his, the person he was playing against. The lady was, I think she was 5'2".
Oh God!
Kyrgios was just teeing off, but it was it was really good entertainment, and that they won that in three sets.
Oh, that's a really good bonus match to see.
Yeah, it was really good.
And just a word on Kyrgios. Unfortunately, he had an injury, but he was playing some fantastic tennis this week for a guy who, in his own words, has not gotten off his couch in the past 6 months or so. And I you know Kyrgios, as if he was remotely training at any point during that time. I'd be surprised if he picked up a racket more than a handful of times, if that.
I actually thought he looked we couldn't quite work out if he was fat or he'd put on muscle weight. I think he put on muscle weight. He looked more muscular.
Did he really?
Like he'd been doing some gym work, yeah.
Oh, maybe I'd give him a lack of credit, but
that couldn't save his abdominal injury that he picked up yesterday. It was at Ojer Aliassime, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he killed him in the first set.
Yeah,
so it's really really unfortunate, and he seemed to be having fun. Like,
he's just great to watch, isn't he? There's just, I think I've come through various phases of thinking about Kyrgios. I think now I'm firmly in the camp of he's great.
Oh, good. Because I remember a few years ago you couldn't stand him.
Yeah, I found him quite irritating. And I also think he didn't back up kind of what he was doing. Now I'm kind of comfortable with the fact that he doesn't really want to win tennis matches that much.
Yeah.
And then he just goes out there and has a good time and he's entertaining. And there's not that many people like him. We were kind of wondering, you know, if he's so popular, which he generally is, why don't more tennis players do what he does and try and interact with the crowd? But it's quite a unique character, I think, who can pull that off.
For sure.
And I think tennis players tend to be a bit weird.
Yes, so absolutely.
I think to play like an individual sport and do all that kind of stuff, you normally have to be a bit odd. As much as I like the top four men's side, they're all strange in their own way.
Yeah, I think you're right. I saw I've got the quote here. Kyrgios in a post match conference. I think he was asked about winning titles and Grand Slams. He said, "I'm okay with not winning Grand Slams. I know that's going to make a lot of people angry. He should be doing this, but I shouldn't though. It's not your life; it's mine. I'm okay with just enjoying myself, putting on a show. Not everyone can be a Federer or Djokovic."
Yeah, there's not too much to disagree with that, is there?
No.
I think he's got enough talent that he can just turn up for a series of events and just, you know, do what he wants to do.
For sure.
There was some funny moment yesterday. I don't know if you saw the Ostapenko-Tomljanovic match.
I didn't see the match. I did see the incident.
Yeah, the spat at the end was great. So I think basically the backstory is Tomljanovic was 4-love up, I think, in the second set. It was on Tomljanovic's serve. Ostapenko then decided to take a medical timeout. And Tomljanovic basically called her a liar. I think she said, like, to the umpire, "You do realize she's lying, right?" Like, right in front of her face. And then she went out and then Ostapenko got some treatment, came back. Tomljanovic went on to win. But then there was like a really awkward handshake at the end where I think basically Ostapenko called her disrespectful, said that, you know, you have no respect, and Tomljanovic was like, "Yeah, just shut up," kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one because it's, I don't know where you stand on it, but I don't think you really call somebody out for an injury if you don't know what's going on. But also, if you're a tennis player, I bet you know exactly when people are trying it on.
I think her issue was, I think she said to the umpire at one point, like, she looks absolutely fine.
Yes. You know,
there's nothing wrong with her. And I think she said, claimed it was an abdominal injury of some kind.
Yes.
But it is very suspect when you go two breaks down in the deciding set, and that's when you decide to...
I think she was just annoyed at for love on her serve. You could have waited a game.
Yes, yeah.
Continue to get that done, and the match is kind of nearly over. So I get what she means, but
yeah,
it's you're falling into tricky territory.
You are. I don't know. It seemed like she has a history of doing this. Does she?
Yeah, I think that's what Tom Janovich was saying. She was like, she does this all the time.
Yeah.
I think if I was a tennis player, I'd definitely do it. If I was losing, I'd do anything to wind the opponent up, and I'd do it at precisely the moment that Ostapenko did it. So,
fair.
I've got no class, but I'm okay with that.
Okay, yeah. At least you're honest about it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like Nick Kyrgios. I'm pointing out all my flaws so you don't have to. Who do you... So looking at the draw now, it's... If you had to pick a semi-final draw from now on the men's side, Joe, who would you go for?
On the men's side, you'd look at Djokovic's draw. I mean, he's not played anyone in the top 100 yet, and he's into week two.
Yeah, so it's going to be Djokovic, Garin, Fucsovic, or Rublev.
Yeah, so I'm going Djokovic to beat Garin, and then to probably beat Rublev instead of Fucsovic. So my semi-final on that side of the draw is Djokovic versus Batista Agu, which I believe would be a rematch from Wimbledon 2019.
Wow. Got great knowledge.
Yeah.
What happened there? Was it a big good match?
I think Djokovic came through in four.
Oh, did he? Batista Agu looked very good.
I saw also 2019, Batista Agu versus Federer in Halle, and Batista Agu could have easily won that match.
Mm. I've never seen him live. He's got a really nice game, actually. It's kind of all court. It looks like he's got a kind of eastern forehand grip. It hits it pretty flat, but doesn't look like there's that much effort on it, but it pings through the court.
Yeah, and unlike most Spanish players, he's quite handy on grass.
Yeah, true. I had that as my semi-finals as well. So what was on the lower side of that draw, who have you got?
On the other side, I don't want to jinx things, but I'm going to go Federer versus Zverev in my semi-final.
Interesting. Walk me through that logic.
So I've got Federer beating Sonego, and then it will be Federer versus either Hurkacz or Medvedev.
Yeah.
Medvedev, I think, is still getting comfortable with grass.
Yeah.
Hurkacz is actually the only men's player this week to not have dropped a set.
Oh, he hasn't dropped a serve, has he?
No, don't think so.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So out of nowhere, he's playing really well. But I think Federer's experience will see him through either of those matchups.
Yep.
If he continues to play how he's playing, obviously. And then on the other side, I've got Berrettini beating Ivashka to get to the quarters. And then I've got Zverev beating Felix. So, and then I've got Zverev overcoming Berrettini.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Berrettini-Federer.
Berrettini-Federer?
Yeah, I think Berrettini's... I'd agree with you. I think Zverev-Berrettini. I think Berrettini will win that one. He's winning Queens, coming off that. It's looked very solid.
Yep.
So I'd back him to do that. Plus, yeah. I don't really like Sasha, so that's played quite a big role in my...
That's fair. I would like him not to be there, but yeah.
And any picks on the women's side?
On the women's side, I think, is really tough. like it always is. I've been subjected to a lot of Ash Barty this week.
Does she look good? I love Ash Barty. She's one of those. I think she's one of those tennis players who's, isn't she, like ridiculous at like all sports?
Yeah, she's like, she was like world class at cricket.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah, she could have gone many ways, and I think has played multiple sports as an adult. So, based on her draw, I think you can probably pencil her into a semi final. I think the Raducanu story is a great story, but I think it's probably going to end before the semis.
I think she gets through. I think Raducanu gets through Tomjanovic and then plays Barty and loses to Barty.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And then you've got Bedosa, Makova, Coco Gauff, or Angelique Kerber.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and go Coco Gauff.
I'm going Coco Gauff as well.
You're going Coco Gauff.
I think it'll be Barty Gauff, yeah. Karolina Pliskova, Samsonova, Keys, or Golubic.
I have to go Pliskova, but
I thought she looked good.
Okay.
She's got some big ground strokes.
I'm not even going to pretend I know who Golubic or Samsonova is.
Oh, come on, Joe. Let's go. You don't know Golubic?
Don't know Golubic. Watch her win the title.
Yeah, exactly. Iga Świątek, Ons Jabeur, who apparently threw up on the court as part of her matches with Garbiñe Muguruza. But yeah, incredible. But that's one. And then Rybakina, Sabalenka. Who are you picking?
I think probably Sabalenka.
Sabalenka, nice.
But I think Świątek has looked very good as well. And I think like Ons Jabeur has kind of won the hearts of a lot of people. Just the way she plays, it's just really fun to watch. She's obviously a trailblazer in what she's trying to do. Yeah, I think that's not an easy matchup for anyone, so I'll be very curious to see that Świątek Jabeur match. But I think Sabalenka probably gets through to the semis to face Pliskova.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to go Świątek. But I do love saying Ons Jabeur. It just sounds right.
It's a nice name.
It's a really nice name. But I think actually that's... thanks very much for joining us this week on This Cannot Be Serious. We'll be back again next week to talk about the conclusion of Wimbledon and reaction to the winners and then looking ahead to the hard court season. But in the meantime, it's a goodbye from me and it's a goodbye from Joe.
Thank you all, guys, because your energy tonight... because of you.